In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The widow and her two coins. This to me is one of the most challenging gospel lessons to preach on, because I've heard so many sermons that tell us to be like the widow. Be like the widow who gave everything she had for the sake of the church. I've always found sermons like these to be disingenuous. First off, I do not know one person who has given everything they have to the church. I do know people who have given what they have and given it sacrificially. And many of us offer gladly portions of ourselves to the church, but we usually have the privilege of managing the risks and making careful calculations before we make a pledge. Second, anyone who gives away everything they have must rely on someone else to care for her needs. If we're being honest, none of us actually wants to ever be like the widow. And if I offer a sermon that invites us to be like her, that means I expect us to actually imagine being in her place. The widow is the person in our community who is destitute and dependent. I know I don't want to have to imagine what it's like to be the widow. And I think that if I expect that from myself or you, I'm no better than the scribes. I would be asking us to keep up appearances, so to speak, convincing ourselves that we are more altruistic than we actually are. I mean, just after the encounter with the widow, if you read in the 13th chapter of John, verse 1 in Mark, even Jesus' disciples who just witnessed this widow giving everything she had immediately have their gaze pulled away from her to the grandeur of the temple stones, which we'll hear next week. As Luther Seminary professor Caroline Lewis expresses, God sees right through our self-attentive ways, our tendency for self-preservation, our constant leaning toward the lure of all that might build up the self, especially at the expense of those who need our help the most. I think it's important for us to hear today that Jesus never says in the gospel, be like the widow. Instead, Jesus calls our attention to her, which is actually much more challenging. Look not only at her faith, but look at her and her needs. Certainly the compelling figures in the temple were the easy ones on the eyes. They had the long robes. There wasn't much challenge in looking to them. Not only this, but these scribes, it says, were marginalizing the woman who had nothing. She was the person on the fringe who was segregated and humiliated, and keeping her in her place was essential to keeping the status quo that the scribes enjoyed so much. Jesus stops and points out the widow and says, this woman, this is the most generous and genuine and grateful one of you all. Look at her genuine heart, her grateful spirit, and her generous attitude. This day marks the 100th anniversary of World War I. They called it the war to end all wars. Unfortunately, war is still alive and well, and inequality and injustice are as well. There are hundreds of stories of bravery and sacrifice surrounding the offering of lives to the service of one's country in this and other wars in history, and we celebrate those on this and every Veterans Day. But there's one story in particular I believe Jesus would have pointed out. In World War I, there were about 370,000 African-American troops, men who labored, fought, and died to make the world safe for a democracy that refused them equal citizenship at home. The African-American troops of World War I were indeed offering their lives to fight for a nation where lynchings were all too common a way of death. The overwhelming majority of black troops were assigned to labor companies, Those selected for combat were undertrained, poorly equipped, and commanded by white officers who still insisted on black inferiority. And at the same time, there were leaders like W.E.B. Du Bois, who continued to believe that service to the nation in wartime could be a foundation on which to build a more equitable American society. The black soldiers of World War I believed in what was possible, and they gave their lives for it. The Harlem Hellfighters were this one National Guard regiment, the 369th Infantry attached to the French Army, who made their own special history. There was Private Henry Johnson. This is the one I think Jesus would say, "Look at him." On watch in the Argonne Forest on May 14, 1918, he single-handedly took on a German raid in hand-to-hand combat. He fought off nearly two dozen German soldiers with a rifle, a knife, and his hands, all while rescuing a fellow soldier and experiencing 21 wounds. Like Jesus acknowledging the widow, the world could no longer, after Private Henry Johnson, ignore black servicemen in World War I in light of the Harlem Hellfighters and Private Johnson's sacrifice. Like the widow who offered her two coins, this brave man and all the black men of World War I had great hope and great courage, but also suffered brutal segregation, daily humiliations, and enduring, embittering disappointments. The widow with her two coins also believed in what was possible, and she gave everything she had for it. The reality is, what she was giving to was imperfect. What those soldiers gave to was imperfect, and what we give to is imperfect. But Jesus points out what it's really all about. It's about giving anyway, and doing it with a genuine heart, a grateful spirit, and a generous attitude. This kind of orientation is the good news Jesus is pointing to us toward today. So in your daily life and work, where would you say that you have a genuine heart? Where can you say your spirit is grateful? And toward what is your attitude generous rather than self-focused? One of this parish's top spiritual gifts is the gift of faith. It's the special gift whereby the Spirit provides Christians with extraordinary confidence in God's promises, power, and presence, so they can take heroic stands for the future of God's work in the church. That's an awesome gift to have as a parish. We, like the world the widow lived in, like the America the 370,000 black servicemen of World War I lived in, are living in an imperfect system. We call our system the church. The Church of Jesus Christ is still guilty today of being at times a force of marginalization or exclusion. We will never actually be in the shoes of the destitute and marginalized widow. We definitely can't fully comprehend the life of a black American soldier in the early 1900s. But we can relate to their hope. They had a hope that the ideals of the temple and of the nation would ultimately overcome the realities of the injustice they faced. We have a hope of the ideal of the promised kingdom of God that will ultimately overcome our church's very human brokenness. Ultimately, it comes down to us starting to live with genuine hearts, grateful spirits, and generous attitudes. Can you imagine what might be possible for the church if we all dedicated to give our trust to the highest ideals and beliefs and believe they'd ultimately be achieved by our collective offerings? So today, Lori is going to be baptized in the church. She's going to stand right here, and she's going to renounce the forces of evil and wickedness in this world that threaten to overcome us. And then she's going to turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as her Savior and put her whole trust in his faith and grace and love. We'll join her together this morning as we will reaffirm our baptismal covenant. We'll make a covenant that we will, with God's help, follow in the way of God's love. Ultimately, the gospel today calls us to examine our intentions. Do we live with our words and deeds of the faith we proclaim? Do we offer ourselves to the God of love who gave his life for us? It starts with trusting that our genuine hearts, grateful spirits, and generous attitudes lead us in the way of life. May it be so. Amen. Amen.